Welcome to the Friends of Fantasy Benefits Baseball Podcast. I'm Justin Mason, lead fantasy writer and analyst for friendsoffantasybenefits.com. Joining me on another Prospect Minute is Matt Thompson. Matt, how you doing?
No complaints, man. This is a kind of fun, interesting system. It's a way better fantasy one than real life one.
It's some of my favorite guys.
Yeah, it's just such a weird organization, though.
We were just talking about off air. Like, it wasn't that long ago we were looking at the Rangers system as a pretty fun, interesting, up and coming system. And then, you know, there's a difference between identifying talent and developing it.
Yeah, and it's a lot of athletes, which we know the bust rates of athletes. A lot of pitchers, which you know the bust rates of pitchers.
But we
not a lot of safe guys in the system, which is right. It's way better fantasy.
Yeah. All right. But before you get started, remind everybody you can reach Matt on Twitter at MDTompFWFB, me on Twitter at JustinMasonFWFB. Jump right in. Let's talk about the Rangers.
Yeah, number one for me, talked about briefly pre-show how there's like five or six guys you could probably have number one and have to make a realistic argument for the Texas system. But my number one guy is Bubba Thompson. He was their first-round pick in 2017. Typical two-sport athlete kind of guy. He's a really good football player. And obviously, he's the quarterback, and he's a good outfielder for the baseball team. So as you could expect, he's got a good athletic skills, good body, good physical guy. He's got some agility, and he missed some time in 2017 with a knee injury. So I think that was due to a football injury, actually. But speed is the foundation here. Speed and power. He hasn't quite grown into the power yet. But he's raw, and that's normally the last thing that comes into play here. 289, 344, 446, 8 homers and 32 stolen bases for the outfield prospect. 6.3% walk rate, so he's an aggressive guy with a 28.7% K rate. So obviously you see the issues there. It's a guy that could pop here. That's why I have him number one. I'm a sucker for the athletes, and especially two-sport guys that are – finally, just focusing in on baseball. I mean, he's focused on baseball exclusively for, what, a year now? So we're looking for more improvements here. He's tinkers with the stance a little bit. He's trying to find it, what he's got. He's messed with the leg kick, kind of shortened it, elongated it at times, everything with it. Cut it out almost completely with a wider stance. He's done a lot of different things. I don't know if that's because of knee injury or what, but he made a definite swing changes in the midseason. And our resident scout over at Prospects Live, JP, Jason Panini, had a lot of good things to say about the new swing, and he liked it. So I think he's got a really good chance to stick in center field, and I think he's going to be a guy that produces a lot of value for the Rangers on both sides of the ball with some power and some speed. My number two fantasy guy is Sherton Apostel. He was acquired from the Pirates system. He's a potential 60 hit, 60 power bat that can stick in the infield, not middle infield, but third base. 278, 420, 460 with 8 homers and 3 stolen bases. 18.3% walk rate, 22% strikeout rate. But let me repeat that, 18% walk rate. That's pretty damn good. His career walk to K ratio is 120 to 161, so that's pretty strong. Plus raw power is coming here. He's a real strong kid, physical kid. Advanced plate skills obviously make that play up. Really good hands, really good weight transfer from the lower half. Uses the hips extremely well. The problem here is he's probably at best a below-average fielder at third base. The arm is good. The footwork is not. The range lacks. I don't know where he ends up playing. Maybe he's a first baseman long-term. Maybe he's a corner outfielder. But I do think he's going to hit. And Apostel is probably a prospect that not a lot of many people know a lot about. I think he's probably fairly underrated. It's hard because I dive so deep into these. I don't know who's rated and who's underrated to people that don't pay as much attention. Justin, have you heard of Shirts and Apostel or very much? Or
I have not.
Okay, so that's a good foundation then. So he might be a guy that's available in most leagues. I would suggest getting him. He's got a lot of really nice skills here, and it's the kind of stuff that you want to invest in. Here's a tweet from JP. It says, an impressive young bat, well-proportioned, strong frame. Hard to believe he's only 19. Very athletic, strong hands. Hit a homer to dead center that was easy 400-plus feet. Generates power with little effort. Fluid swing, advanced approach for his age. Defense is below average at third. So, that sums it up. That's pretty much what I just listed off. And I think he's in our fantasy baseball universe, he's a much better player. And it's kind of the kind of player we want, to be honest. My number three ranked prospect is their pitcher they drafted this year in Cole Wynn. I'm in love with this profile. 15th overall pick out of a California high school. We know the success rate of prep pitchers in the first round is fairly poor. Here's the high school pitchers drafted in the 2014 first round. Ready for this? High school arms in 2014. So they should be, knocking on the door, right? Mm-hmm. Brady Aiken, Tyler Kolick, Cody Medeiros, Tuki Toussaint, Grant Holmes, Luis Ortiz, Justice Sheffield, and Michael Kopech. Mm-hmm. So, you see the issues, right? We get the risk, but Cole Wynn has a ideal frame, 6'2", 190, tons of athleticism, four pitch mix that are all a chance to play average or better. Some of the cleanest mechanics you'll get. He's right up there with Matthew Liberatore for me as guys that you want to get in first year player draft, probably in the second round, around pick 15, 16 would be where they fit. He's got a level of safety compared to a lot of these other high school arms that. I know it's easy to say, and I know it's hindsight, but I think there's a lot of safety to this arm, despite being where he's at. He's a high spin rate guy, if that's your thing. I'm still not certain. I believe in the spin rate stuff. I don't know. I think there's a lot of bad pitchers that have high spin rates, if you know what I mean. So, but he's the fastball. He's got a couple variations of it, four-seam, two-seam cutter. The curveball projects to be plus. He's got a changeup that should be above average. He's also got a slider, so it's a deep arsenal. Probably a number two or three starter. He's got the frame to pitch 200 innings and go deep into games. So I'm a really big fan of Cole Wynn. Hans Kraus was their 66th overall pick in the second round in 2017. 6'4", 180, really long legs, double plus arm speed, has a three-quarter release. He's got the stuff to be a dominant starter with his fastball, double plus slider arsenal, or a really good late game reliever, late inning reliever. Because of that same stuff, the changeup is still developing. He's got that really quick up tempo delivery, and he's one of those guys that he'll come right at you on the mound. He'll blow you up. Doesn't care who you are. He'll pitch inside. He'll do everything. He's kind of an old school guy, and I like that. The numbers were really dominant in A ball this year. In the short season Northwest League before he got promoted to Hickory, and it was very good. It wasn't as good in Hickory in the full season ball, but you can see what Hans Kraus has, and there's a lot to get excited about. Julio Pablo Martinez, kind of a mystery man, but he's the next guy on this list. He was in the Arizona Fall League, really plus run times. He got $2.8 million last March from the Rangers, so he's kind of a late signing. He might be eligible in your first-year player drafts this year, depending on your rules. So he's a guy to track, and if you can get him, I would look for him around 15, 16, 17, 18, somewhere in that range. He has the weird route of playing. He played indie ball before he got signed by the Rangers because he came to the States and got all that stuff squared away first. Played in Canada, the indie ball as well up there, the Can-Am League. Performed fairly well, 297, 345, 449. Went 20 for 24 on the bases. Plate approach kind of sucked, but he's playing against, the league average age is 27, and he was only 22. So you look at Julio Pablo, and it's a rough around the edges profile because he missed some development time. I know he did play in the Can-Am League, but before that, the defection process is hell, and there's a lot of shorter, to put it to put some words on it, it's pretty much a hellacious process for the people involved. But he's a high floor guy with double speed, should have the defense to play in the outfield. I don't know how much power he's going to hit. I think the power grade is either a 30 or a 40. He's going to be a speed defense kind of guy up the middle, but he should stick there. Leody Taveras for me comes in next. Excuse me, Brock Burke, who they just got from the Rays and their most recent deal here, comes in next for me. Burke is a really good lefty who popped up, got a couple pitches, fastball slider combination out of Tampa Bay. Was the Tampa Bay Rays pitcher of the year in the minor leagues this year. Shows you what kind of stuff he's got to be the pitcher of the year in that system. He was a guy that we really, really loved over at Prospects Live when we did the Rays system analysis. I had him on my list, and I was high on him, but after listening to that stuff, I realized I wasn't high enough. And Brock Burke is a guy I really, really, really love. But the trade to Texas hurts him because, as a member of the Tampa organization, you're in good hands over there with their pitchers. But Texas doesn't really do a really good job of developing pitchers. So hopefully he's almost a finished product, though, so I hope he can kind of advance to where he's at. But I really like Brock Burke, and I think he's got a future as at least a number three starter in a rotation. Leody Taveras, I'm definitely the low guy here. I just don't see it, man. I know he's top 50 prospect on a lot of people's lists, and I'm not here to say that my list is better than theirs or anything, but I just don't know what they're seeing as far as Taveras.
But it is.
maybe it is. That's for everyone else to let me know, but I just don't see it with this guy. I don't. I understand that he's young for the levels. I understand that. Third youngest player in the Carolina League this year, but he hit 246, 312, 332, five homers and 19 stolen bases, 16% K rate, which is good, 8% walk rate, which is good. I understand that. The plate skills are nice. Young for the level, okay, cool. But he hasn't produced at a, above average clip in any league he's been at. 85 WRC plus in the in high A this year. His makeup has to be plus. They keep pushing him up through levels. But at a certain point, you have to hit, man. Maybe he can be an above average regular if he puts everything together. If he does that, I'll be the last one to buy in because I am not on the train too much. I know he's got plus speed and really good defensive skills in the center field, but I just don't see the hit tool right now. I don't see the power projection. And I'm not on the Leody Taveras train. I guess this is as close as I'll get to trashing someone on this kind of stuff, but I'm not on Taveras. Taylor Hearn is a guy that they got from the Pirates. One of my favorite lefty arms, real loose athletic delivery. Bigger guy, about 6'2", 93, 96, can touch the high 90s with some movement and a plus slider and a changeup that round out the arsenal. Changeup needs some work. It's not as consistent as the slider, but he's got two wipeout pitches right now. But he's actually better against righties, so the changeup does flash enough. I think he's a very safe back-end starter. I think he might be the best young pitcher the Rangers have right now that's Major League ready. I think he's better than Yohandre Mendez, who's probably penciled into the rotation right now. Hearn made his Major League debut last year for the Rangers. He set a career high with 129 innings. He should be, in theory, ready to go to 150, 155 next year. And I hope a good chunk of those are at the big league level because I think he's ready to go. Next guy on my list is Joe Palumbo. Joe Palumbo is another lefty. He comes in. He missed a good chunk of 2017 and 2018 due to Tommy John surgery. He was added to the 40-man roster last year despite, needing Tommy John. He had the surgery in April of 2017. And he returned in June of 2018. Fastball was 92-96, and the curveball flashed plus after he came back. The changeup was, still there. I think he has the stuff to start, but he's getting to the stages of development. As I said, he's already on the 40-man roster. He just hasn't been able to put innings together, so he might have to be a bullpen arm just because of that. He lacks, innings on the mound. He still needs to work on that. He could be a multi-inning relief kind of guy, but I think he could play in that level. And obviously, being in the American League, they have a longer leash to be able to do that with guys, so I think that's a good thing for them.
You are listening to the Friends of Fantasy Benefits Baseball Podcast. All preseason long, we'll be bringing you the most in-depth analysis to get you ready for your drafts. There will be 30 team previews with 30 prospect previews during the month of January. That's 60 podcasts in 30 days. Then, we will be dropping almost daily pods until the start of the season. You can also get your 2019 draft guide called The Fantasy Benefit in ebook and paperback on Amazon.com. Or if you prefer, you can get it via email in PDF form. It has over 250 pages of analysis, player profiles, ranks, strategy guides, and prospect information for cheaper than the magazine you get in the store. Plus, we'll be updating both PDF and ebook all the way until draft season is over for any changes that happen in the landscape of fantasy baseball. Stay tuned all preseason long to Friends of Fantasy Benefits so you can be ahead of the curve.
Jonathan Hernandez is a right-handed pitcher. I know Ralph likes him a lot over at Prospects Live. I'm okay on him. I think he's – the fastball sits 95-97, which is great. Has some sink and some run and high 80s slider flashes plus. He's got a playable change and a curveball that both project to be average. He had a rough stint in the Texas League compared to his other leagues. He's still 3 years below the average age, though. That's obviously something that you have to take into consideration. He's an arm strength guy. I think he has enough to start. He needs to work on the command. That's his greatest detractor right now. But Hernandez has a good baseline set of skills. So I think he can be a guy there. Owen White was their second-round draft pick this year. Doesn't have nearly the upside of Cole Wynn, 90-94 with the fastball, though. Probably a back-end starter. Has sporadic control, has a good slider. He's got that Oral Hershiser, like that Bulldog-type look to him. Smaller frame guy, but he's going to go at you on the mound. And 6'3", 170, so obviously he needs to add some good weight, and he can add some good weight, maybe bump the fastball up. He's got a curveball and a changeup to play to average. AJ Alexi is probably a multi-inning reliever, but I think he's nasty, and I think he's got the type of stuff that are going to give him potential late-inning relief role if he wants it to with the fastball and the slider. It's a really, really good profile. Got in from the Dodgers in a deal, the Yu Darvish trade, I believe, actually. So Alexi is, he's a good arm to watch. He's got some platoon splits, so he's got to develop a little bit better changeup. Jonathan Ornelas is a first-year player draft guy that I'm a fan of. I love the bat speed here. It's the first thing that jumps out when you watch the highlight tape here on Prospects Live that we have. He's a fringe runner, so ignore the 15 stolen bases. I don't think he's going to have more than 5 to 6 a season at the major league level. But the bat speed is hard to bet against. I actually included him in a trade. I actually traded for him in our Friends of Fantasy Benefits Dynasty League. So I put my money where my mouth is here. 70 bat speed and 40 swing mechanics, which you can change the mechanics. You can't really teach the bat speed. So I'm fine with that. They'll make some alterations to the swing. If there's one thing Texas is really good at over the years, it's developing raw middle infield talents, right? So that's kind of where I'm at here. I like Ornelas a lot. Anderson Tejada, another middle infield prospect with some power and some speed. Probably play shortstop, 259, 331, 439 line, 19 homers, 11 stolen bases. Strikes out too much, but that's a problem that a lot of people have nowadays. Chris Cease is another middle infield guy, 29th overall pick in 2017. Speed and defense is the game. He's kind of a cut. Similar to like a Cole Tucker, but he's got more injuries and he's hasn't had a lot of time to develop. And the defense is probably a grade lower, but he's a similar skill set. Alex Spies, relief only guy, but I think he can be a dominant backhand guy with 2+ pitches. Tyler Phillips is a 20-year-old arm that led the South Atlantic League in swinging strike rate and finished 6th in ground ball rate. So that's a really good foundational profile. He's 6'5", 200 pounds. So at minimum, the floor here is high. He misses bats and gets ground balls. What's not to love about that, right? So, I mean, that's an intriguing profile. Jace Easley, son of major leaguer Damon Easley, was Nolan Gorman's teammate at Sandra Day O'Connor High School in Arizona. Played some shortstop and hit leadoff on that team. Had an Oregon State commitment, but the Rangers got him for $500,000 after drafting him in the 5th round. 5'8", 145. So obviously, it lacks a lot of the monster size that a lot of the other guys have. Should stick a shortstop, above average arm, good footwork. Good eye, good plate skills here, has some power, and he can run. Lack of power is the ultimate downside, though, because of his frame, but he's got more power than his frame, if that makes sense. He's kind of fits in like 6 to 8, 8 to 10 homer bucket, but he can steal 25, 30 bases and play good middle infield similar defense. Jace Easley and Jason Winnie kind of comped him to like Nicky Lopez for the Royals, and I think that fits. Pedro Gonzalez is an athletic, toolsy outfielder that strikes out too much, got some power and some speed. If he can get to 40 hit tool, he'll be a major league player. I'm not counting on it, though. Mason Englert was a third round pick this year, 91 to 94 with a good curveball. Let's see. CJ Pelham's a good relief prospect. Kyle Cody is a big bodied 6'7 innings eater guy that was twice drafted. The Twins drafted him and he didn't sign. And then the Twins drafted him in the second round in 2015. Medical concerns kind of torpedoed the money demands and kind of he just didn't sign. Rangers got him in the sixth round the following year, so we didn't have a strong year at Kentucky, but he's an innings eater guy. Jason Barr is a San Francisco Giant. This was a weird trade, Justin. The Giants traded Austin Jackson and Cody Gearin for Barr to relieve some kind of money concerns the Giants had to get underneath the tax. Jason Barr, 120 innings, 27% K rate, 7% walk rate. He's a dude. And unfortunately, that sucks for you guys because you don't have him anymore. 6'5", 190.
thanks, buddy.
Big, tall, lanky guy with some physical projection. Can hit, sits in the low 90s, can touch 97, has a three-pitch mix with a curveball and a changeup. Late bloomer. He was kind of a swing guy in college, pitched in mop-up roles, hit pro ball, and has taken off. So Jason Barr is a dude. So follow him. He's about to pop. Brendan Davis is a middle infielder with projection. Might be a third baseman. Got him from the Dodgers. Kind of a clearance rack version of O'Neill Cruz in the Pirates system, where he's a big, tall guy with loud tools but can't manifest himself because, number one, he's growing into his frame. And, number two, he's got bat-to-ball issues. And that's kind of where we're at with this. Yuri Rodriguez is a nice arm out of the bullpen, potentially. Oslavis Basabe. The Rangers, remember they were late runners for the Ohtani. They tried trading for bonus money and stuff, and they couldn't get Ohtani. And Oslavis Basabe was the next available guy, the next best guy in that market. They signed him for $550,000 out of Venezuela. He's a really defense-first kind of guy, but those guys, we've talked about those guys in great lengths. I think the hand-eye coordination is elite with guys like this. And I think Basabe's future is up the middle, whether it be shortstop or center field or even second base. Offensive numbers are pretty good considering how raw he is. 10.5% walk rate, 11% strikeout rate, 12 stolen bases in the DSL. Hit some good numbers there. Obviously, you can't put too much stock in him, but I do think you can put a lot of stock. I do think if anything translated, it'll be the plate skills, and those are strong. And Kaber Rodriguez is another fun guy. Another athletic middle infield prospect with some bat to ball and some power and some speed. And then Randy Florentino is a catching prospect in the DSL that absolutely destroyed the ball. 454 OBP. I know that there's some issues with, you know, playing at that level. Eli White, they got from the Oakland A's and the same deal that Brock Burke came from the Rays. Owen White is he can play shortstop. He's got a good enough glove. The A's are deep at shortstop, though, and they ended up moving him. But in the fall league, he started experimenting playing other spots. And I think that's his long-term role. I think he's going to play a lot of outfield, a lot of third base, a lot of second base. So he's a guy there. And then Cole Reagans, I want to jump back to. I forgot Cole Reagans. Reagans is in my top 15 for the system. He was their first-round pick in 2016, 30th overall. Went down with Tommy John. Just started throwing this fall league. He should be ready to go around mid-season 2019. True Cole Hamels comps because of the lefty, the size, the good changeup. I think he's a mid-rotation arm, but a lot has to happen because he's missed some time, but he's got to come back. But I think he'll be a mid-rotation arm. But I think that covers the Rangers. Pretty. It's a fun system once you get talking about them, but every player's got significant warts. And, it's hard to... If you had to bet, Justin, a significant amount of money on somebody in this system being a major league player, who would it be? It makes you uncomfortable, right?
Bubba Thompson. I don't think I would.
Right. You know what I'm saying, though? Yeah. It's like it's a hard, because everybody we listed, they all sound great, right? I tried to paint like a rosy picture with like a lot of what a lot of people are, but
it's a lot of risk reward.
Yes. And which makes it a really good fantasy system, potentially. But it's a lot of, if I had to make that same bet, I'd go Taylor Hearn or Brock Burke. I'd actually bet on a left-handed pitcher, which would be strange, but I'm not very confident.
Yeah, understandably.
I think they can be a 2.5 to 3 WAR player, and I think this whole list could be a 2.5 to 3 WAR players, or they could be nothing. I think that's an entirely accurate statement to make. But
I think that is completely fair, honestly.
But
that's going to wrap us up for this episode. You can reach Matt on Twitter at MDTompFWFB. Me on Twitter at JustinMasonFWFB. Don't forget to follow all of Matt's works at Friends of Fantasy Benefits and at Prospects Live, where they're doing a lot of great work. And if you like these prospect pods, you got to be checking out what they're doing over at Prospects Live. You can reach me, you can follow my work over at Fangraphs and Fantasy Alarm, as well as Friends of Fantasy Benefits. That's going to do it for this episode. For Matt and myself, thank you for listening. Have a fantastic baseball season.